One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
And we're back. Thanks for coming back to the show. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Hey, what's up?
And on the soundboard, Robert Timothy.
Woo!
Well, I feel like it's been a long time since we've got our individual intros like that.
Yeah,
Bobby,
that's true. I think last time Ryan was just like, hey, I'm pissed at the world, let me get going. And he forgot we were here last time.
I was an hour late and hungover.
That's true. Yeah.
You're going to have to forgive me if I didn't give you the proper intro
hungover,
you deserve.
Hungover. Let's go still drunk. Let's all be honest.
What am I, Bruce Buffer? Do I have to fucking come up with a grandiose thing every time?
That a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you don't have to be Bruce Buffer. You could be Michael Buffer.
We're here in the studio. Have we named this studio yet?
It's Sagan Studios.
Is that? Did you name that?
It's the name of the company.
Oh. Anyways, how was your week, first of all?
Everything going well. How about you guys?
Yeah, not too bad. Had some good shows.
Had a show. Me and Dave both had a show last night at the new Madhouse Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And, you know, between that letter that I read on the air last week.
The crazy fan who, like, wanted too much of your attention.
Yeah, just felt like she was part of my life or something. I don't know.
She knew her value.
I'll say.
That indeed. Now Ryan does too.
Yeah. I just need her watch list status. So I was on my way to the club, and I get a call from one of the promoters like, hey, there's some people calling the club making sure you were going to be there.
So this is for your show last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's got to be a nice like kick in the self-esteem. That's like, all right, way to go. Is that somebody who really wants to come see me? Yeah. Awesome.
It definitely is.
Because a lot of times with comedy, especially in a place like Madhouse with its great new location in the middle of downtown, like a lot of times people just come in to see quote-unquote comedy. They don't know who is coming
right
up.
Oh, exactly.
And so if somebody is calling up and saying, I want to see Ryan Shore, is he going to be there tonight? That's got to be a real swelling of pride.
It is. Yeah. It is because, you know, I mean, when I sold out those shows on the Midwest tour, my name wasn't selling it out. It was, there's going to be a live entertainment that isn't a guy wrestling a pig.
Yeah.
We're all going, you know? So they didn't know who was going to be on that stage. No, but that was nice. And so I got there and there was a few people I know in the audience. I'm like, oh, that must have been who called, you know, that's who
right.
I assume called. And then the owner's girlfriend pulled me aside and she's like, no. This person, it was the same person. And they just kept calling, they called like two different times. Like, are you sure Ryan Shores will be there?
Wow.
And
now he's starting to think like, am I going to be served papers here?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I was thinking more of an Inglorious Bastards where they needed to make sure you were there because they were going to murder you in the middle of that thing.
Well, either way, it's starting to sound bad.
Well, okay, so I'm there and I've already assumed, oh, that must have been my pal Joe or my pal Carlos that are both here with their wives. So that's probably who called to make sure I was going to be here. So all of a sudden, I'm chilling near the green room, just outside the green room where people are passing me to go into the showroom. One of the staff brings up this lady. Now, she looks like Liza Minnelli. I'm
going to
say Liza Minnelli.
Nah. Okay.
She goes, well, this is him. And she's giving me a look that I would expect from someone who I was in a fist fight back in 2009, and I don't remember them, but they remember me. And
she's mad. No,
she's not mad. She's not mad. It's just kind of like, you know who I am. Like, it'll click.
Oh, see, I thought she was already angry because she's like, this isn't the star of Biodome. You've lied to me.
This is that fucking soccer player from the United Kingdom. I hate it. No, she's giving me a look like, you know me. And so that prompts me because she's not saying anything.
Right.
Right.
It prompts me to go, do we know each other? Because I don't know. Like, and she goes, no. And I said, well, what's your name? She goes, I'm your fan.
And oh, you're the one. Oh, thank God.
That's exactly what I said. That old joke.
Did you go, what's your birthday?
I did have a moment where I'm like, uh-oh, this is her. But it's not. She said her name was something else than
Liza Minnelli.
The name in that
real
email.
Quick side note. Did you notice the name as like, oh, I've seen this person post on my Facebook before? Okay.
No.
Now also real quick, Bobby, Shores, I got to give you props first of all, because like when I'm in that situation, I don't know how you are, Bobby, but when I'm in that situation, I feel too awkward to say, do I know you? I always just have to try to like play along and be like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Yes, 100%.
Like I'll play those games.
Oh, I do too.
So I have to give you credit for just coming on.
This is probably the first time in my life I've done that because the situation was so awkward. So yeah. that to where I was like, she's giving me this very, and then she was getting like, she got like really close to my face, like she was examining it.
Like
and
nose to nose.
Almost, like nose to cheek. I'm like, so anyways, I'm like, she goes, I'm your fan. I'm like, oh, what's your name? And she keeps looking at me. He goes, I'm your fan. And then she finally told me her name. And then she's like,
was it Sirhan?
And I get,
it was actually, I'm your fan. That's it's a Greek name.
And at this point, I'm just like, did anyone check her for weapons? She had a cane. I'm like, is there a sword in there? Like, you know, old timey 1800s?
First of all, let me just say this side note. If you ever have to have a cane and you don't get a sword cane, you're just fucking being an idiot. Like, yeah, why would you waste this opportunity to carry a sword around?
Wait, you don't keep stink bombs in yours? Yeah.
Only at the bottom you can puncture him with the sword.
I assumed yours would be a blowgun of sorts.
Yeah, oh, well, that would work too. But regardless, if you're going to walk around with a possible weapon the entire time and then not take advantage of that situation, I don't trust you as a person.
It's a weird thing to start having this side of people starting to follow you, you know? Mm-hmm. Hopefully not literally. I mean, like, on online, ostensibly.
She's out in the parking lot right now.
Yeah.
I'm your listener.
It speaks to a different strategy I have than other comics have, which is there's more than one ways to have success in comedy. Some people are like, I'm going to get in good at this club, and I'll be on stage with this club and meet a bunch of celebrities through this club. Mm-hmm. Others are like, I just need to impress one decision maker. Me, I did it differently.
You went after all the psychos.
Yeah,
I did. I went out there. I went on the road. I went on the internet. I'm like, I'm going to amass some fans one by one, and I think I cast the net a little too wide.
Yeah.
So
wait, did you ever get to the bottom of who she was, how she
nope.
knew you, or what she was doing there?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Nope. Saw her on the way out, and she stopped, and she stared at me, and then she walked off.
Now, when you were performing, that was a fun room, by the way. We were in the same room. There's two rooms at Madhouse.
Yeah.
And I was also bartending, so I couldn't, like, hang out and watch the show.
Right.
But when I was up there, it was fun. It was a very tightly packed room. Did you see her in the room? Because it's a small room. Okay.
I did.
Was she acting normal, or was she like...
She was tucked away in the back and just watching the show like you would a movie.
Dave, side note, you need to see my new Liza Minnelli outfit. King of pranks!
Oh, but I will say, were you in the room, and this happens to me from time to time, and it never ceases to throw me off my game. I had a good set, but did you see in the front row, there was a couple... that were just stone-faced. Like,
that's always the worst.
And
how could I have not seen them? They're right there.
Why did you come? Why did you come?
I have never seen a couple. And now, and you might say, well, how do you know it wasn't just for you? Because every person that came off was like, hey, there's an African-American couple in the front. They do not look happy. And they're like, you'll see them. And I went up, and I have never seen a woman so wildly unimpressed. Oop, that's not true. But but no. She
was not a fan.
They were, like, picture two cigar store Indians that are able to sit in chairs.
Dude, I've seen that before, and it's always like, I think it's a mentality. Some people come to a comedy show with the idea of like, sweet, I've worked all week. I can't wait to just let loose. This is going to be fun. I'm going to have a few drinks and have some fun. And some people come with the mentality of, you can't make me laugh. And
yeah,
it's those people I'm like, why did you show up?
To
why?
Prove you wrong.
Yeah, that's the entire thing. I like actually sitting in kind of like front row center. A lot of people don't like doing that at comedy shows because you can get called out or whatever. I like to go see some of my... I will go and sit in the front row in a lot of clubs when people won't.
With
I did
your sword
cannons and stuff. Yeah. And I'll just sit right there by myself.
I'm your fan.
It's fine. You want to nail on me? Go for it. I'm going to laugh hysterically because I came to see you. This is going to be a fun show. I'm going to have fun with you. And
Bobby
calls
the club a few times beforehand to make sure that they're there.
I also understand that when you do that, you're almost kind of like part of the show at that point when you're sitting front row center in the thing. And it doesn't mean you need to laugh at things you don't find funny, but you need to at least go with the show. And if you're going to sit there and be like, let's see you try. I'm going to be thinking of my dead grandfather in World War II. Let's see you break that mental concentration.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the other thing. I'm like, why? Okay, you've obviously been doing this throughout the entire show because every comic that's come out has gone, ooh, great room, except these two in the front. I'm like, why did you stay?
Yeah.
I understand you paid for a ticket. If you had left halfway through, you could have argued for your money back.
Right.
Like why would you sit here in the front row just glaring? I got to say, the guy was stone-faced, but this woman was fucking shooting daggers at people. I wasn't doing racial humor or political humor. There was nothing to upset her in my act. You know my act backwards and forwards. There is nothing that someone would take offense to. They could find it not funny, right. But nothing offended by.
Do you think like the opener pissed them off and they hung to it the whole time?
That might have been it, because I heard there was a heckler and Mikey, the host, might have gone a little too hard. Mm. That could have been them. I don't know. Either way,
I like to think it's because they got ready for a date, they got dressed up, they were really excited, they went out, they're all giddy, and they get in their drinks and stuff, and then like right as Mikey Gordon gets up to enter the show, the guy just leans over to her and goes, "I've been cheating on you."
You know what? The face would match up. The face that I saw would match up.
It's a great plan, because it means that she has to sit through 2 hours of not talking about it before she gets to say anything.
I'm sorry, Bobby. I don't mean to be racist, but she's a black woman. No black woman hears she's been cheated on. He goes, "I will save my emotions for later." No, that is getting addressed now.
Or it could be, now when Mikey hosts this show, he has his clown makeup on, his Dirty Ron clown makeup. Yeah. So maybe he triggered some childhood trauma for these people.
That's true, clown.
I have a story about that.
About clowns? Let's go. Let's do this.
About finding out you're being cheated on by a clown?
Get close.
That'd be the worst singing telegram. he makes balloon animals of a dick going into somebody else's vagina.
Believe it or not, he hasn't been true. You probably should find a divorce lawyer.
And get an STD test.
You should get checked out, because you might be holding some sort of bacteria. All right, so have I ever told you my story of when I was working in a medical clinic and a woman caught her husband with another woman in my waiting room and I got to see the whole thing go down?
How in the world did that happen?
Okay, I will tell you. Okay.
Fingers crossed this is the same as the Richard Dreyfuss story, because I'd love to see him in the middle of all this.
Same clinic. it'd be funny if he was there. He'd be sitting there like, that was a terrible Richard Dreyfuss impression. Yeah. Anyway, so there was a guy that came into my clinic. It was an ear, nose, and throat clinic. And we knew the staff knew he was cheating on his wife, because
how often does this guy come in that you know he's cheating on his wife?
Well, it's in his charts.
When people
high blood pressure, cheating on wife,
infidelity. Oh boy, but he tested positive for that and a multitude of other things. So how we knew. Ear, nose, and throat, when people that need a specialist for that, they have chronic problems and need to come in a lot.
Okay.
So that's number one.
But still, are you, like, banging your mistress in the lobby? Like,
well,
wow.
Here's what would happen is at the beginning, he would be coming in with his wife, and then later on, he started coming in with some young thing. I mean, he was in his, like, he was 40 or 50. I can't tell because he was black, so because he looked 30. But she was like 19, long braids, you know.
But why are you bringing her to your ear, nose, and throat doctor? This isn't a nightclub. What is your game, man?
I don't know, but like, they would just canoodle the whole time.
What?
To the point the nurse would be like, you know, they'd be like messing around and be doing PDA, and the nurse would be like, "Yo, you need to knock that off, because I'm trying to give you instructions about these drops." So anyways, like, so it became a running joke, because we would have to confirm appointments on the phone like 2 days before an appointment, and his wife would answer, you know, and be like, "Oh yeah, Harold will be there." And like, you know, there was a running joke like, "Is he gonna have that chick you don't know about with him again?"
Yeah.
So anyways, like, you know, it was just a known fact this dude has a side chick, and they get so few windows of opportunity to be together.
Really turned on by medical procedures,
I guess. But they would come in together and she'd hang off his arm, they'd play on their cell phone together, and like, they would just canoodle.
You know what? I understand that sometimes guys cheat. I get that that's a thing. It's a shitty thing to do. I get that's a thing. I don't get when they do it like fucking idiots. What are you thinking? Like, you're bringing her to your doctor's appointment? For what? For what? All you're doing is increasing the number of people who know you are married, seeing that you are... Go two towns over to the fucking Chili's. What are you doing?
I don't know. My only guess is that maybe that was their only window of opportunity to see. They probably are grasping at every opportunity they can. I don't know. From what I understand about affairs, like, you know, it's very much puppy love, and the level of intense feelings you feel for each other is so ramped up because you're both doing something wrong together.
Right.
I don't know. I can't get into that mentality. I agree with you. When I was a cheater in my early 20s, I was like the what was that movie with Dane Cook and Kevin Costner?
Inglourious Basterds.
Where he he's a serial killer, but he's so...
Oh, yeah.
He's so maniacal.
That was when Dane Cook tried to be like a serious actor
for a second.
For
5 seconds.
And like, everyone's like, no.
It was like Mr. Smith. We don't accept him.
Yeah, something Mr. Smith. I was like that. I would have little booties over my shoes.
Yes.
So I was wearing latex gloves. I was, I'd send a text message and then throw my phone in a river.
And by the way, as somebody who, like you said, in my early years, in my late teens and early 20s, was stupid enough and a jerk of enough to actually cheat on some people sometimes and feel very bad about it. But then also, as somebody who has been cheated on themselves, if somebody cheated on me and they didn't even try and hide it, it would be so much more offensive. It's so much worse. It's like, not only am I going to be banging this dude, I'm not even respectful enough to go to the motel that's outside of a mile radius of our house.
You know what that says? I'm not scared to lose you.
Yeah, that's
what that says. Like,
or you're too dumb to figure this out.
Yeah, you're too dumb, and even if you do, whatever.
So, Ryan, what's worse, cheating on someone or hiring an actor to play a gypsy to trick that person into staying with you?
That was for love.
A very toxic, unhealthy love. Anyways, on with the story. So they came in, they check in, he's with Miss Thang, and they sit down, they're playing on his phone, arm in arm, and all of a sudden, I hear footsteps coming down the hallway, and they're like rhinoceros hooves, and this large woman just comes busting through the door. She's got her finger already up in the air, and she runs over, steps in front of the two of them, looks at her, looks at him, and there is a moment of silence that lasted for what seemed like an eternity. It might have only been 1 second, but I'm there with my mouth open, like,
Now, is there anybody else in the waiting room?
It's me. And the three of them, it is me and this love triangle, and I know exactly who she is and what she just found out. I don't know how she found it out.
Yeah, I was wondering how she got tipped off to the doctor's office.
Please tell me that in that brief moment of silence, you stood up and yelled, "World Star!"
This is before World Star, so no, but I would have. Oh, my God. I wish I had the wherewithal to fucking violate HIPAA laws and turn on my cell phone camera to film the whole thing. So my mouth's open. I'm like, oh, shit. And all of a sudden, she just launches into, "Yo, motherfucker!" And just attacks the both of them with the fury. With fury. And so anyways, I, lurking in a hospital setting, have to pick up the phone and call it's code gray. That means violent disturbance.
Manny got caught cheating. Code gray.
Yeah, we got a whole code for that. A
lot of colors.
Yeah. So I have to call in a code gray, which means there's been a violent disturbance. There's some hostile violence going on. But I dialed those numbers slow. I didn't get a lot of entertainment working as a receptionist in the medical community.
Did you do the thing where they pick up and they go, what's your emergency? And you go, well.
I went, first of all, you don't know their story. So let's reserve your judgment for whatever you think. Anyways, there is, a large woman attacking a smaller woman and a man who might need to get a new house pretty soon.
Yeah.
if you could come on up to the third floor. By the way, take your time, man. Take your time. I have it under control. It's not that bad.
How long did this windmilling last?
And windmilling is a great way to describe that flurry of fists was 3 to 4 minutes, which in a fight is a very long time.
Wow, that's almost a full round in the UFC. Yeah.
Right.
Now, during this time, is he trying to get in the way and stop her from beating up his mistress? Or what's his... Is he just kind of sulking off in the corner like, well, I guess the winner gets me.
He was going between trying to stop her and then deflecting punches.
And also, is he like trying to defend himself? Like, verbally? Is he like, no, honey, you don't understand anything like that?
No.
I would just yell, "This is one of the nurses! She's giving me my ear, nose, and throat medicine!"
I think that she had maybe seen this girl before. That's the way the whole body language...
Oh, she's a fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, she showed up and she gave her a look like she knew who she was.
I think that maybe they found... I think this was the chick that he was telling her not to worry about.
Yeah.
I think that's who this was.
This was the secretary at the office.
Yeah, this was somebody. And so they had to be separated. And he had me give his keys. He's like, "You need to give this to the young girl with braids. All right, don't give it to that bigger older lady. Give it to the younger. This is my car key." I'm like, "Believe me, sir, I know who's getting the car key." Yeah, that was...
So now did security come down and break it up?
Yeah, they came down, they broke it up. And she was yelling, I just bought him a car! I just bought him a car!
Wow. Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, yeah. So this lady just bought this guy a car, and he paid her by fucking someone else.
Oh, my God. What a piece of trash.
Did he end up going to his appointment after all?
He did!
Yeah.
I am still a little raspy. I'm like, tell me about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, working in a medical setting, how many codes are there? Because code gray seems kind of random.
Right.
There's about six or so. There's and they're not all. The funny thing is, they're not all colors. It's weird. There's no rhyme or reason to it. So code gray is a violent disturbance. Code orange is there's a fire on the premises. Uh-huh. And then lost child, code Adam. code active shooter is.
Code active shooter.
Yep.
Yes. No, I love it.
No, let's gotcha. Not make any bones about yep. that. Code. Oh, you know what's funny is in the hospital, there'd often be over the loudspeaker code blue. That means there's someone.
Code blue I'm familiar with.
That's cardiac arrest.
Right.
What's funny is every time they'd be like, bing, bong, code blue, third floor. It's very common because there's a cardiac floor, right. There's a cardiac clinic. And the thing is, I noticed that everyone in my waiting room would be like, code blue, what does that mean? What is that? And I always have to be like, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. That's nothing that anyone here has to worry about. But like near the
and
end.
And then he looks at an older person like, maybe you though. You should be a little worried.
But one time, this was near the end of me working at this hospital. All of a sudden it was like, code blue. Code blue. Code blue, holy shit, we're all gonna die! and then I was like, I'm kidding. Uh-oh, actual code blue. Sorry about that. Sorry.
I like it if code beige is when there's a middle-aged white woman with a haircut that just says she's gonna talk to your manager. Like, that's code beige, get in here.
Code fuchsia. No, what I like about code active shooter is, let's say there was...
Oh, a flasher, code eggplant, code eggplant!
If there was an actual active shooter in that situation... And the person who's supposed to announce the code just like fucking freaked out, like, oh my God, they got him like, active shooter. Ryan's like, well, they didn't say code in the front.
Yeah, right.
You didn't say Simon Says.
Don't worry about it.
You're supposed to say over when you're done talking into the radio.
Yeah. What is this, amateur hour?
No, everyone remain calm. If it was an active shooter, they would have said code before they said active shooter. So we're fine.
Bobby, you mentioned there was a story that I've heard whisperings of it. I saw people like mention it online.
I saw the headline. I didn't read it.
What happened?
So this happened on a Southwest flight, and this was, you know how like every once in a while they have to announce somebody's name over the plane,
yes.
Like over the intercom.
And they always get it wrong.
And they were announcing this mother and her daughter, and then the mom had a regular name. It was like, hey, Susan. And the daughter's name was the letters A, B, C, D, E.
Yes.
You think so, but it was Agbade.
Absidy, actually, is how she pronounces it.
Yes.
Absidy. That'd be a good name for a gym.
And they were like, yeah. Well, somebody
welcome to Absidy. Check it out. Bounce a quarter off these abs.
Somebody posted online that was a dumb idea for two reasons. One, it's a dumb name, but two, it puts too much pressure on her.
Yeah. I did see that, yeah.
Oh, God, if you're fucking obese and your name's Absidy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the Southwest attendant like hangs up the phone. So she's not on the loudspeaker anymore, but then turns to the Southwest attendant next to her and says what literally 100% of people would say in that situation.
I'm
which
your
is,
fan.
What kind of dumbass name is that? Or something like that. You know, wasn't, I don't even think it was that horrible. She was just like, that's a really weird name. This is silly. Like, blah, blah, blah. And the mom gets irate, gets really pissed off that somebody dare insult her very creative Absidy name.
The staff member was correct, but
yes.
Also, but also, what kind of idiot insults a name to a parent? Like, even
no, they did not know that they could hear them, so right. They said it over
overheard.
The speaker. They those people were close enough that
uh-oh.
They didn't actually need to hear it from the speaker. So when she hangs up the speakerphone thing and turns to her coworker to say this, they don't understand that this person can hear them. Who are you that you name your kid Absidy and don't think that people are going to make normal comments about this name?
You know who you are? You're a fucking miserable person who wants to complain about shit,
yes.
And now you've built in an excuse. You're the person that sits in the front row of a comedy club saying, I dare you to make
yes.
me laugh.
Yes,
you better not
that's
tell
who
me
you are.
Jokes.
Yes, 100%. You're the person who figured out you were 1/32nd African-American and claims everybody is racist against you. You should use this as a pod person challenge where you introduce your kid as Absidy and then wait for that person to go back to a different room. And if they don't say something about it to their coworkers, there's something wrong with that person.
It's the new replicant test.
Yeah, it's a Rorschach test for whether or not you're fucking insane.
Here's the thing. I'm not one of those guys that's like, hey, whatever happened to good old-fashioned American names like Harold and Richard? Oh, what is it with all this Shaniqua business? You know, I'm not one of those guys.
Right.
Name your kid whatever you want. But let me just put this guide out there. Number one, your job as a parent is to, one, try and make the best life for your kid. And in doing so, know that they're going to have to live with that name. Don't treat it like you're naming like your band.
Right.
Don't,
yeah.
don't come up with something that's just supposed to be creative. They have to live with it, not you. If you ever say what your kid's name is and someone goes, oh, that's a pretty good one, you've made a mistake.
Right.
You've made a mistake. Don't try to make it ironic. They got to deal with it, not you. And also, they'd like their name to be on a keychain at Knott's Berry Farm. Can you help out with that, please?
Yeah, and also, like, think about the fact that people are human beings. They're going to have natural reactions to normal things.
This is like having a face tattoo, and then someone stares at you like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the tattoo you put on your face.
Right.
You know what's funny is I am seeing more and more, speaking of face tattoos, more and more people online complaining that, like, I'm discriminated against a lot with my face tattoos and my hand tattoos and my neck tattoos. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't know that that's what you were signing up for. You
right.
absolutely did. They're trying to put themselves in the same category as a black man I'm discriminated against.
I get it if, like, you passed out at a party one time with your shoes on and woke up with a bunch of face tattoos you didn't want. But presumably you went to a store and paid money to have somebody put these on your face. So
yeah.
That's on you.
Whatever discrimination you get henceforth is your fault. And you're signing up for that.
Time out. Did you say passed out at a party with your shoes on?
Yeah.
Why are the shoes relevant to the passing out?
Because if you pass out with your shoes on, it's okay for somebody to write on your face with permanent marker.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
That's called getting chiefed.
No.
You
I never heard of that.
In all
are
your
you kidding
travels,
me?
You didn't know the rule that if you pass out at a party with your shoes on and are not the host, then...
Ryan likes to distinguish. Yeah, you got to take those shoes off anyway, buddy.
Hey, no. If I'm throwing a shindig at my house, I pass out when and where I want to. And you will
shoes
not,
on or not.
You will not touch me with a fucking marker.
We're
going
to have
to
go to the UN to get this result.
Oh, I will talk to Boutros Ghali real quick.
Yeah, no,
name, Boutros. Who names that? That's fucking...
You're signing up. What kind of dumb name is that?
No, you know what? The other thing about Ab City, that stupid fucking name... You know the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue?
Yes.
Where he named him Sue because he wouldn't be around. He wanted a son. This is way worse because, like, your daughter's not going to grow up to be tough. She's going to grow up to be depressed and fucking self-conscious.
And doing crunches every free second of the day to try and live up to that name. It's like naming your kid Giant Cock Tom. Like, what do you expect? He's going to feel bad about himself forever.
Hope that works out for you.
Good luck.
Oh. Hey, Bobby, you mentioned this to me over text. One of our buddies shared a picture in it. What's the proper term? I thought a meme was a picture with accompanying text.
Nah, it doesn't have to be.
Just something on the internet.
Technically,
that's a meme.
So actually, it's a funny story. So Dawkins.
I doubt it.
We'll see.
Dawkins invented this term in the 1970s, the idea of meme. And it's just
who?
Richard Dawkins.
Okay.
And it's just...
I was thinking the band Dokken. Wouldn't it be cool if Don Dokken came up with something that we used to this
Dream
day?
Dream Warriors, also meme.
It just refers to a small unit of social heritability. So the same way a gene, it's supposed to be a reflection of gene, meme, gene. So gene
from WWF, you mean Gene Ackerman?
Yeah, gene is a small unit of biological heredity that we have. You have genes. Memes is a cultural version of that. So it's any small cultural idea. Religion is considered a meme. It's basically an idea that can be transferred from one person to another. On the internet, it has become these little snippets. So a picture or a picture with text or just text.
Now, sidebar. You preface that by saying this is a funny story.
Yes.
And then nothing you said was actually funny.
Interesting.
It makes
I meant
me
funny
wonder.
Like interesting.
This concludes the boring section of the show. If you had tuned out, please tune back in.
Mental note, do not book Bobby on any more comedy shows.
We're going to try and ramp this up here after that little lull. We apologize. That is not a reflection of our community or our program.
You guys are being real Ab Cities right now.
It's a new code.
Ab City. Code Ab City.
Means you're about to be made fun of by every Southwesterner.
It means you accidentally left the fucking intercom on like a goddamn second day noob. By the way, the lady that used to call it those Code Blues and Code Adams, she took the she took the little intercom thing with her to the bathroom once and didn't know it was on. That was a great day. Anyway, that should be a Code Ab City. So anyways, this meme in question, our friend Brian Simpson, very talented comic.
Yeah,
he'll be headlining my Burning Beard Brewery show on December 13th. Check that out. He shared it. It says, ladies, if your boyfriend can't bench 250, you single to me.
Right.
Right?
So I think it's something like that.
Yeah. I think it's exactly that.
Yes.
And people lost their shit.
Yeah.
People lost their shit. One person
lost her shit, and then other people started to back her up.
Yes. Yeah, which is crazy to me. Because
first of all, I know you and Dave have different opinions. Right. I don't want to hear them both.
Right. So looking at that, I chuckled to myself, and I thought, ah. Now, speaking of which, I haven't been on a bench press in a very long time. I don't think I can bench press 250, so apparently my wife is single.
Reps or max? That's my question.
Certainly can't rep it.
I think I do reps at 180. So yeah. I'm like maybe I could do 2 to 3 at 250.
Yeah,
I might pull a shoulder.
I don't think so. I don't think I could. So I guess this applies to me. But I just chuckle a little bit, like, that's a funny thing. But apparently, some people got really mad, and who I would think would get mad wasn't who got mad. I thought it was going to be super insecure guys. I thought it was going to be, especially because we know a lot of comedians, and there's a lot of comedians who couldn't bench the bar with the help of three of their friends. and so, like, I was thinking to myself, oh, it's going to be some guy who's like, hey, man, you respect my girlfriend. if anything,
right.
That is not what happened.
Or guys like me, like, oh, yeah, well, let's see you go against jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'll fucking put you in a gooseneck fucking wrist lock real goddamn quick, Mr. 250.
Yeah, way too much sensitivity, I guess. But so anyway, what ended up happening was somebody got really mad, and they're like, this is incredibly insulting towards women because you're denying that they have a boyfriend, which seems to me to be so myopically sexist in their own right. It's like the person he's dismissing is that man. What he's saying is this person is so unmasculine, they could not possibly be a man, and therefore they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be so self-centered, narcissistic, and selfishly myopically sexist as to turn it around to say, no, I am the victim. It is sexist against women because you're denying their agency.
You didn't read it all because she explained it. She said...
I saw her explanation. I'm making fun of it because it's bullshit. But anyway, go ahead.
Dave, I want to hear your counterpoint.
So basically the point is, as a woman, you don't respect my choice. You don't respect that I've chosen this person's boyfriend.
No, he doesn't respect the boyfriend. It's not your choice. Because again, he's not saying your choice is wrong, and he's not saying I'm not respecting your choice not to talk to me.
You're reading so much into a short meme.
So is she! That's the whole point!
But what you're reading into it is right, and what she's reading into it is wrong.
No, what she's reading into it is nonsensical.
No, it's not.
Here's the way I see it, okay? First of all,
it's not even that funny. It's amusing. It's kind of...
Yeah, you're right. It's amusing. But hold on. No, I do want to give you the chance to complete it. So before Ryan goes, go ahead and complete what she's trying to say.
No, that's what she's trying to say. As a woman, you don't respect her choice and her decision. You don't respect her feelings.
And she brought up some examples of so many times I tell someone I have a boyfriend and they continue to pursue me,
right.
Which is harassment.
Right. Yes.
And this meme/joke is promoting harassment. That's what she's saying.
Right.
Right. That's my boyfriend over there. Nah, that's not your boyfriend.
Right.
You're single. Right. You're available to me.
Right. But what's he saying? He's not saying, when I talk to a woman and she tells me her boyfriend is this person or that person, I ignore them. No, what he's saying is, I am devaluing the masculinity of these people so much so that I don't recognize them as people or competition to me. And it's not talking about her.
I'm also devaluing your choice as a woman.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with your choice.
He's not a real person.
It has nothing to do with your choice.
No,
it has to do with
does.
His qualifications as a man. You have to be narcissistic to come to her explanation. I understand what she's saying.
It's one of those things where you can't explain to Bobby how wrong he is.
What
you just have to let him go.
No, what she's saying is she's such a narcissist that when she sees that, all she sees is her own victimhood. And that is total bullshit.
Coming from a white man.
Yes.
Telling
you're
women
right.
That
as a regular white man, I can recognize when people are narcissists.
Here's what I think. I did. First of all.
My white manness doesn't somehow mean that she can't be a narcissist. And again, she has to be a narcissist to think that.
I got a chuckle out of the joke itself. And
yeah,
by the way.
Just a chuckle. That's funny.
Let's realize that, first of all, yes, if that were true, and the whole funny part of this joke is that it's not true. It's
right.
Like a kind of joke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if it were true, yes, that's Viking behavior of you are mine unless a man is stronger than me to protect you. Yes, that is if it were true, but it's not. Here's the part where I kind of got a little bit like on the side of the meme, which wasn't even that funny in the first place. It was more like, it's a joke, okay?
Right.
And I understand you're saying, no, this isn't funny because I have an experience with this, so therefore it is no longer on the table to be a joke. If you get there, then it's like, okay, and this guy says, making jokes about any type of race isn't
right.
funny. This guy, his brother drowned, so no drowning jokes. You know, so you get to a point where it's like, all right, well, where's the rule then?
Yeah, and well, my favorite part is if you look up the guy who posted that, and I don't think he was the original poster. He was a reposter or something.
That was another thing, is like no one, like only a couple people called him out for like, hey, you're stealing a joke, first of all.
I think, I think it was reposting.
No, he just posted it on his own.
If you look on his wall, he attributes it and stuff. I think it just got reposted.
I didn't see that. I looked on his wall, and I didn't see that.
So I had looked through his stuff, and somebody posted. They're like, look, I'll prove to you how insane this woman is. Here is almost the exact same tweet from the other angle, and it was a woman saying, if you can't make your man a full meal from scratch, you're not married, or something like that. And she's like, oh, surprise, surprise. Not a single person bitched about the plight of men on this entire thread.
Oh, you don't want to be the guy bitching about the plight of men.
Because
don't be that guy.
Because
there's nothing to bitch about.
You're right, because it's an insane argument.
Look at all the harassment women have to deal with on a constant basis.
You're not saying
all
the time. You're not saying they don't have harassment. You're saying this isn't it. It's a difference between, that's like saying because somebody ever gets harassed, anything said about them is therefore harassment. This was the exact same thing, the exact same flip of genders. However, this person was never accused of somehow disingenuously going after men's choices.
All right. Anytime someone gets mad about a joke, for me, there's only two options for a joke, ha-ha or no ha-ha.
Yeah.
That's it. And so when people get offended of a joke, all I say to them each time, no matter what it's about, is, just give me the list of ones we're not supposed to make so we all know the fucking rules. Oh, big surprise. This list has only the things that you're upset about on it. Everything else is fine.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Whatever.
Yeah, it's just a person who didn't get told no enough when they were a kid. Like, that's literally what it is. It's,
oh,
I am too important.
I want to have you two have a debate.
I would love to talk to this stupid person. I would love to. Oh.
Okay, so last thing before we get out of here. Bobby, I got a business venture and I need your help, okay? When we were in Salem for Groob's wedding, and I wrote this down on a little piece of paper, and it just said witch idea, W-I-T-C-H idea.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And I'm like, and for 3 weeks, I've been like, what the fuck? Where was I going with that?
Oh my God. I do that all the time. I'll write shit down, and I'm like, I don't know what I meant by this.
Yeah. Oh, dude, in joke notebooks?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Smurfs in the jungle? What the fuck does that mean?
Swamp thing bathtub. I'm showing it to people like, did I ever say something involving Swamp Thing in a bathtub, and then you found it funny, and then you could tell me the joke? This piece of paper, witch idea, witch business idea. When I was in Salem, there is, I discovered, a huge market that not only exists in Salem. Salem's where they go to congregate once a year in October. There's grown adults that believe in witchcraft and spend so much fucking money on books of spells and little charms and things that they actually believe exist. And there's people there in Salem, like, making a good living saying, like, $80, talk to a witch. And you just go in, there's just a crazy lady with a fucking amethyst crystal, like, yeah, you're going to have a great birthday next year. Ooh. And they're like, that was worth every penny.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about this. I'm like, all right, there's money to be made here, but obviously a lot of competition. And I was looking, I actually picked up one of the witch books that they were selling. Oh, and there was a line to buy them too. And I like opened it up. It's like, all right, this spell is you dig some graveyard dirt and then you put it in someone's footprint and then you say this chant and then they'll have bad luck. And then you just, all
God
of this.
God damn it, that's what happened to me.
All of the spells are just assuming they had bad luck and you didn't see it. And I'm like, okay, all right, they're believing this. Oh, by the way, I flipped over the book. Guess the price. Just go ahead and guess the price.
$30.
Hardcover or softcover?
Hardcover with pictures. $50. Pictures.
$140.
$109.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, shit, book of spells, $109, and it's all just assuming someone has bad luck. Yeah, if you rip your pubes out and throw it at the wind, your enemies will be have a bad sex life.
I would get some of those witches a magical device called a scanner. Buy that book, scan all the pages, turn it back in.
As you get towards the back of the book, the spells start being like, put $5 in an envelope and mail it to this address.
Hey, was there a spell in there to get your money back? Anyway, so Bobby, I was thinking about this. I'm like, all right, there's already so many people that believe in this, but what is actual witchcraft to someone in like the 1700s? What was it? It was science, essentially. Science they couldn't explain. So like for a lot of times, I mean, I'm going
in what sense?
In sense, before they understood things, if they saw,
it's like the Isaac Asimov quote: "Any technology sufficiently advanced will appear to us as magic."
Right. Like for instance, if early enough in American history, if people saw lightning hitting someone the roof of someone's barn because they had a metal pole up there, they'd be like, "Sorcery!" So until they figured that shit out. So we are essentially dealing with grown adults in the year 2018 that probably don't understand how a lot of scientific shit works. Now,
right.
I was remembering back in eighth grade science class where our teacher would do some cool stuff for us. You know, like they'd light magnesium on fire. And,
sure.
And, or they'd dip a rose in nitrate and then shatter it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be a scientist. And then they showed me like the long chemical equations. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry about that. Never mind. I apologize if I wasted anyone's time. I'm out. Anyways, I'm thinking Bobby.
I think that's how you end up being a magician.
Yeah.
Like, you like all that shit, but you don't want to get into the
fucking... Yeah, you don't like the math?
So, Bobby, I'm thinking we need to come up with some sort of witch school where you just basically show them science experiments and say that it's witchcraft, and you can sell them this shit. If you sell them, like, some a magnesium strip and say, this is the hair of a demon. Look how steely it is.
Right.
Light it on fire and see hell's fire. They do it. They go, oh, shit, it's real. Dude, we will make a fortune.
We can call it Hogwarts. It won't be a fake at all.
I'm dipping this rose in the icy blood of Satan. Oh, it shattered against the wall. But what have you?
At one point, it's just Ryan. He's like mimicking something when somebody pretends they're going back in time. He just pulls out a lighter and starts waving it in front of their face. I made fire!
Excelsior! Anyway, Bobby, just consider it.
Just start making fake witch tools.
I know that you have the ability to do fun little science experiments that are meant to dazzle either eighth graders or grown women that believe in witchcraft.
Right.
They'll have the same reaction.
Right.
All we have to tell them is, no, this isn't science. It's Satan's blood, and that's how it freezes.
That's the last of the tricks. It's just like we're all around a table, and I just hand them all poison, wait for them to die, and take their wallets. I've relieved you of money.
King of pranks.
Meanwhile, I'm dipping fucking dry ice in a big bucket of water. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Oh, wait. Before I get out of here, there's going to be a show at the Burning Beard Brewery in El Cajon. It's going to be myself hosting with Brian Simpson, Allison Gill, and Alec Parent. Stay tuned for that.
Great lineup.
Oh, yeah. Great lineup. It's the Burning Beard Brewery, December 13th. All right. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. Yo, motherfucking! Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.